On WPTF with the Weekend Gardener, Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston. Andrea Lane is in Mitchell County, North Carolina, up in the mountains. Some of the towns, is it Bakersville, right?
Right. Spruce Pine.
Yeah. So
next door, Burnsville, Hilo, Micahville.
Bakersville is the closest to you, or?
Yes.
Okay.
And the smallest one of all those I named.
Andre, I remember going to Bakersville back in my days in public office and staying at that old inn, and I understand that they've got it back on up and going now in Burnsville.
Oh, in Burnsville. Okay, yes. The New Ray.
Yes, the New Ray. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous, Rufus. You've got to come see it. Gorgeous. I took a tour of it just before they opened recently, and they did a fabulous job, painfully down to every detail restoring this.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Place. Yeah. And so, they reopened the restaurant as well. So I haven't been to the restaurant yet. That just opened about a week ago. But the hotel is full swing.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. Everything's slowly coming back there, but a lot of people still need a lot of help. So,
and there's still help is still here. Samaritan's Purse, a North Carolina state
institution
in Boone.
Yeah,
they
do so much
here. Yeah, and real helpful. Baptist on Mission, which is based near you guys, they've also been here and plan to stay here to help people rebuild.
Jolly, that's so great.
It is great. We're so grateful to all of those, I never knew much about a disaster relief organization. Gave it much thought, but now I sure do. Yeah.
Something I'm thankful for is our sponsors, of course, and the folks at IMOS Garden. You love your garden. It's it's more than just soil and seeds. It's a sanctuary, especially out at Rufus's. And you've spent hours planting and watering and nurturing, and then one morning, everything is munched to the ground by deer, for instance. And IMOS Garden deer repellents are a natural, eco-friendly solution that keeps critters away without using harsh chemicals. And it's made right here in North Carolina. They're crafted with botanical oils and other natural ingredients that are tough on pests but gentle on the planet, and safe for kids and pets and pollinators. And these repellents even smell great. So choose refreshing mint or warm spice scents. No more stinky sprays that you have to deal with in the landscape. With their long-lasting, rain-resistant formula for IMOS Garden, you won't need to reapply constantly. From vegetables to flowers, shrubs to trees, IMOS Garden helps protect it all. You can pick from easy, ready-to-use sprays, budget-friendly concentrates, or granular repellents in handy shaker jars. And the best news of all, you don't have to search very far. IMOS Garden is available at independent garden centers and hardware stores all around the Triangle area, including Garden Supply in Cary, Westlake Hardware Stores, many, many more, just like, of course, Phil Campbell at Campbell Road Nursery has the IMS Garden products and believes strongly in them. Pick up IMS Garden repellents today and enjoy peace of mind knowing your plants are protected with people-safe, pet-safe, eco-friendly solutions that actually work. IMS Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. We have Dave from Raleigh with us. Dave, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Very good. How about you?
I'm all right. Hey, so I was calling about a crepe myrtle that I planted in fall of 21. So it's coming up on 4 years old. And the and I got this at Taylor Nursery, and it was supposed to grow to be, I don't know, 12 feet tall and, you know, 6 to 7 feet across. And coming up on 4 years, it is about
30 feet.
Six or seven feet. Yeah, close. Oh. 6 or 7 feet and three across. So is there a way to kind of goose this thing to get it to continue to grow to where it was supposed to grow?
Well, the opposite is normally what you they tell you it's going to be such and such, and it grows three times bigger.
You've always said that, and I was very wary of it when I picked this one out, which is why I went on the shorter side, and it's way short.
Well, I want you to tell me where you got that one so I can get one.
Oh,
tell us a plant again.
Crape myrtle.
Crape myrtle, okay.
Yeah,
that's unusual to find a short one.
You have it planted in the right spot.
Yeah, you apparently do. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a black diamond Legustromia black diamond red hot. So it's going to be a red, dark red crepe myrtle.
Yeah, very dark red. I know about that one. And they're supposed to grow. They grow. I've got one that's got dark leaves too, doesn't it, Dave? Dark leaves.
Yes.
And mine
that's
grows like
very
crazy.
Very striking.
I've almost done crepe murder on it because I don't want it to get.
Well, if you do, don't tell us about it.
I won't tell you about it. I think you just got a plant that decided not to do it because I've never heard of that, of one not growing enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've never gotten a call like that from anybody.
You know, they're starting to toy with the word invasive when discussing crepe myrtle.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say
let's go back to a comment Craig made earlier. That we should relax and enjoy the journey. You know,
don't get so hepped up about it, Dave.
A plant
it's only
is
been
a
4 years.
Thing, and this particular one's just going to take a little more time. So to get established, then nothing wrong with
that. Well, don't focus so much on one thing. You enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah, be sure and visit us like you do.
come visit us sometime.
I try. Well, let me ask you an unrelated question then. If I'm sitting here waiting for this to grow and expand, what do you know? My wife got me a compost bin. So one with, a bunch of nice, it looks like cedar or something, you know, planks on the side and, you know, all set for, I've never used it before, and I'm getting ready to dive in and use this. Mm-hmm. Got any suggestions for, I don't know, how you layer it or what kind of, I mean, do you put basic branches like yard trimmings into it as a different layer aside from just food from inside, or how does this? What's a good way to go about this?
Yeah, I mean, you start with leaves and make grass clippings.
Okay.
Audrey?
Yeah, be careful with grass clippings though, depending on how big your lawn is, because you can you can overdo with the grass clippings.
That's true.
Compost. You have to make sure that you've got a decent balance of browns and greens. So browns, the leaves, the, sticks, and then the greens are your coffee grounds, your vegetative, vegetable scraps from the kitchen. you know, be careful if you're pulling weeds and putting them into, or anything really, into compost that might have seeds on it. You want to avoid that. But it's, you know, I love composting. I love keeping a lot of, you know, material out of the landfill. It makes my kitchen garbage less stinky because that stuff is, anything that can rot is going into the compost pile. You know, anything vegetative. You don't want.
Yeah, you don't put, meat in there.
Oh gosh,
put eggshells.
Yeah, nothing like that. But it's, you know, it's really not that difficult.
Well, I wouldn't put any large size branches in it, Dave. They won't break down in compost for a long time.
Right. At 2 inches is what you should keep in mind. That's what extension says. Cut things down. Like I just cut down my iris stalks, and I just, you know, cut them down to 2-inch sections and threw those in the compost.
Oh, you're making it a work of art.
No, I'm making it break down fast.
Well, Dave, it's not a tumbler, is it? It doesn't turn.
It is not a tumbler.
Okay,
it
you
is
need
one
to,
with a, like an escape hatch at the bottom.
Well, you need to turn that mess over a little bit once in a while.
Yeah,
right.
Gotcha.
And you need to keep it. You know, if it's a droughty period, you need to water it down.
Yeah. You got a pitchfork?
I do have a pitchfork.
Okay, well, there you got some use for it now.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. The way I handle the water when I lived in Durham and you know, dealt with more heat and it would dry out, more drought. I would collect my kitchen scraps in a bucket in the laundry room. Nothing fancy. I didn't buy any one of those fancy things. I just had a bucket with a cover on it. And before I would put them into the compost, I'd fill it with water. So all the veggie scraps are in there, and I'd fill it with water, and I'd throw that onto the compost. It made the stuff come out of the bucket easier, and it added a little moisture every time.
So you can hay or straw or pine needles, leaves, of course. The kitchen scrap
break down that fast, though.
Yeah. Eggshells, old bread. You know, vegetables and fruit scraps and
grain,
cow, chicken, or turkey manure.
Paper towels and stuff. You know,
The biodegradable. Old vegetables, flower trimmings from trees and shrubs, sawdust, wood chips,
Did you say turkey manure?
Yeah. Don't you use turkey manure? I know you had a bad experience with chicken manure.
Oh, man. I never heard that one.
I think Rufus's compost is filled with kale, right?
Oh, yeah. Kale. Well, don't do that, Dave. I have a tumbler that you open up the hatch. I think I've said this before. And you put the compost down in there, and you turn it. And it's supposed to be secure. I've got this doggone groundhog that can turn that thing upside down, pull the lever back and empty it out, and leave it hanging there. I can't do anything about him.
Look, you need a bike lock.
You need a pest control person who specializes in things like that.
As long as he doesn't start to try to live under my new little house.
That would be a great place for him. So you might want to contact somebody who does pest control, not the bugs, but the bigger
that
animals.
Lady from Virginia one time that called us about having.
She had one under her little house.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do, Rufus. All right, we're going to take – Dave, you want to hang on or are you
– No, I'm good. Thank you. Have a
thank
good
you.
Day.
Thank you. We'll see you soon,
time,
buddy.
Dave.
All right.
All right, guys.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. Andrea Lane is with us from the Mitchell County area of North Carolina. You're at 920. We're back back on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston, Andrea Lane, Master Gardener in Mitchell County, and was Master Gardener in Durham County. You still stay in touch with those folks? We did something, Andre, I thought about you, and I probably mentioned you, too. We did something at one of the Durham Public Libraries in the Hayti section of Durham two or three months ago, and that was delightful. And we had the extension chairman, director on, and I think a master gardener. And we had also had a master gardener from Durham. So we hope some point to have the horticulture person on, but yeah, that's still thriving. And I know that you enjoyed your time there.
I did.
Are you still having
everything I know?
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, the most amazing thing, and I'll never forget her, was a lady who was 112 years old.
Yeah, we had a
she was dressed in her beautiful red suit.
Yeah.
And just such a delight. I've can't get her out of my mind. She
at this event?
Yes.
112 years old.
Oh, she was moving well, had was just with the use of a cane and very.
Now that says something about gardening. Right? Craig will be.
What was it? She said she ate collards and
sweet potatoes.
Collards and sweet potatoes. Yeah, so that was what she said kept her in good shape. So,
and our friend Cotter Q was there.
Yeah, the librarian.
Librarian and a very, very good gardener too.
Yeah, a great all around person. Enjoyed meeting his wife recently too. You know,
you all have been on location a lot.
We have this is the first time we've been in the studio since February, I guess. Something like that. Yeah. We've had a good time.
A run. Yeah.
You know, folks like King's Auto Service been advertising for a long time, and we appreciate it so much. But they are the place to go for your automobile. And any of the Japanese or American vehicles they can take care of. And you know, there's so many things that need to be checked on your cars. They're so complicated now. We can't – the backyard mechanics can work on some of the vintage cars, classic cars, but it's hard to work on them, the newer ones, because of all the computerization. And they're computer experts at King's Auto Service. From the filters on down, everything's monitored on there. So get the folks at Dean Bailey, who owns the place, to check it all out for you, whether it's the brakes or the windshield wipers, your transmission fluid. Make sure you get oil. And I know you don't normally have to do it as much as you used to, but the requirements from the manufacturers, but make sure oil is changed. Make sure the tires are checked, and all the little things, the hoses and belts, because you're not necessarily going to know unless you check if a hose or a belt is in good shape, and it can go. You don't want to get stuck out on the highway, especially these days. So if you have a hybrid vehicle, they have some hybrid specialists there, certified hybrid technicians at King's that can diagnose, give you available options for a high-voltage battery pack replacement if you need it. And those are huge batteries. And 150,000 miles is kind of the average when they start giving out, but some go much, much, much longer than that. So call King's. Get a courtesy battery analysis. Get that 12-volt battery check, too. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. We, boy, I tell you, this show is really going, it always goes quickly, it seems to me. Because we're having fun. It's an interesting subject, hopefully, for people. But we're really moving out at lightning speed this morning. We're getting close to a break, but we got about a minute. Or what are your master gardeners working on right now? Do they have different projects that they're working on right now?
Something new we're starting is that we have a couple of food pantries in the county, and we are setting up our Q&A booth at the food pantries so we can help people get started with their growing their own garden if they'd like to give that a try, like me and my tomatoes. Because we
don't be afeard. You'll do well.
We lost our local grocery store in the storm.
So, you'll be amazed how quickly they grow, Andre, up in the mountains, the growing season.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I just got them in because of all the rain we had in May.
I know.
And it was cool.
That's true.
So I just got them in.
There's certainly a difference.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay. All right. We'll come back. 919-860-9783 is the number you can call in this morning here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. All right, 9:33 at WPTF time. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston and Andrea Lane, who is here. So what other vegetables are you growing besides tomatoes?
I am growing green beans.
Green beans.
Something called Provider Green Beans that have done very well for me the last few years. And my household loves green beans. So I usually freeze the ones that we can't consume.
Yeah, they go with anything.
And everyone likes green beans,
Yeah.
Well, have you heard of pole beans, Andrea? Pole beans? My grandma used to grow pole beans.
Yes, I have.
They're bigger. Yeah.
And I grew them 1 year, and they were, they're tall, and we have raised beds that are about 2 feet off the ground.
So you needed a ladder, huh?
I needed a ladder to harvest. I decided to go with bush beans from now on.
Well,
I tried peas last year, but they didn't work for me. I have to give them another go.
Yeah, I don't know when you should. When is the best time to? They obviously need a little bit longer
growing.
Longer. What kind of peas? The garden peas.
Garden peas.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, I have a thing about the garden peas because of the canned ones that I had at Nashville Elementary School. I just, I've had a had a real problem with them, and I should give them another. I mean, the fresh garden peas at the farmer's market, I'm sure, are just extraordinary. But I've got to warm up to them somehow. Melissa has tried so many times to fool me with things, and she succeeded quite often, but she hasn't tried the peas.
It'd be like Nelsa with her mayonnaise. She had a bad spell one time with mayonnaise, and she has
she didn't even like talking about it. I don't mind talking about garden peas, English peas. Snow peas.
I can talk about kale as long as you don't try to force it on.
Well, it's probably ended up in some of your salads, Rufus, and you didn't even know it.
I know. If you cover it up enough with a good ranch salad dressing.
If it's baby kale, maybe. But I don't think you could really cover up regular kale
I don't like cooked spinach that much, but I love fresh, uncooked spinach in a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you grow spinach? In Raleigh?
Oh, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Couldn't you do that in Durham? Or did you not grow vegetables in Durham?
I didn't grow vegetables in Durham.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ornamentals all the way.
The grocery store so close by back then, but now you're living off the land, aren't you?
Three of them, right, all the way. But I also had a lot of space. I had a very nice woodland garden in Durham.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother with veggies.
Well, so like I live so close to the farmer's market that the only vegetable I grow are tomatoes, and it's like Craig said, you're going to have good years and bad years. I've been very lucky. And let me ask you this. My mother used to grow dahlias for church. She was the church flower lady. And I've never seen anything like dahlias. We had to stake them. They grew so beautiful, so tall, and so big in the mountains. Have you tried dahlias yet?
I have not, but I have two master gardener friends who are devoted to dahlias.
Yeah, and you've seen them staked. They're like tobacco stalks, stakes.
Yes, and there's actually a farm, a flower farm in the county that, you know, grows beautiful, beautiful flowers, but dahlias are one of her specialties. They are another thing that I think, you know, they just do better in the mountains than they would in the Piedmont.
They really do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Rufus, Melissa reminds me I was supposed to tell you that Dan Hughes said to tell you hello, CPA.
Oh, yes, Dan. Dan's a nice person.
Yeah. So she just texted me. Melissa taught their children at Underwood.
Uh-huh.
And his wife is taking piano lessons from Melissa right now.
Oh, great. Well, Dan's a fine person.
Yeah.
Very fine.
So he speaks highly of you. All right. I won't interrupt anymore.
That's okay.
Melissa just sent that, and I don't. It's Big Daddy's show.
You're our leader.
I'm not a leader. I don't know that I lead very well. I enjoyed that aspect of being at Oak Ridge Military.
Yeah.
I really hate that.
Did they give you rank when you were there?
I was only there 2 years. I ended up as a first sergeant, so I was second in command of a company. If I'd gone back another year, I would have been an officer.
Oh.
But I enjoyed yelling at the cadets. So, but at any rate, I don't know that.
Hey, you know what grows well here in the mountains?
What?
Rhododendron.
Oh,
rhododendron.
Ooh.
Their rhododendron festival.
How beautiful.
So are they blooming right now?
We had a fabulous, the cultivated ones had a fabulous year. And now we're waiting for the ones in the natural garden atop Rhone Mountain.
Flower. Definitely.
That's
they were beautiful this year, like everything else. All right, we're going to be back with more rhododendrons and everything else here on The Weekend Gardener. It's 9:39. All right, 9:43 it is. And Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston and Andrea Lane from the mountains of North Carolina, a master gardener in Mitchell County. Do you still have the same extension agent that you had before Helene?
We do not.
Oh, okay.
We have a new agent. He started shortly after Helene, and his name is Brandon Pittman. He's awesome.
So you've gotten him trained well?
We're working on it. But he had a lot going for him already. He's new to extension, but he's certainly not new to horticulture. He had been a teacher at the, in Morganton, University in Morganton, North Carolina. He was teaching horticulture there.
Rufus ought to know all about Morganton. What is there?
What's in Morganton?
Well, you have the community college, and you have the school for deaf and sightless. You have the big thing is the community college there.
So yeah, I guess that's where he taught.
Community college that he taught. And he did. He was a known entity to us because he taught one of the classes during our initial training. So he's just a really nice man. And he's whenever we've been working at the rhododendron festivals or the mountain festivals, he stops by with his family and you know makes a point to say hello.
Well, that's great.
He serves on the school board. He's He's on our long-term recovery committee for the county. That's a thing that happens after your community has been in a disaster.
Yeah.
Who knew, right?
Yeah.
So we got, we'll get back to that in a second. We got Carl from Apex. Carl, good morning.
Sure. Morning.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I remember a few months ago, I mentioned that my bigamous, I was always having Japanese beetle problem.
Rufus, have you ever dealt, have you ever defended a bigamous?
No. I've shooed away a couple of them.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, so anyhow, Japanese beetle problem, huge, huge. But you suggested the milky spore, and I haven't seen any sign of it, the Japanese beetle, but my giant fig tree, about 35, 40 feet wide, each year I cut off 3-4 feet all the way around it, so it's not getting so dang big. And this was probably been in the ground 20 to 25 years. It's a huge thing, and it, I did a bunch of trimming during the winter inside, but evidently I didn't do enough because all those 6 to 8 inch limbs that were out there at about 45 degrees are now horizontal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've just had so much rain. It seems everything is so lush.
Yeah. Now that's, they was doing, and I have the early crop is starting to done. Anyhow, I've got a couple of verticals left and some sucker type things coming up in the middle, so it'll regrow. But I guess I eventually just all those that broke off, you know, a big whole hunk on the side there with 8 or 10, you know, 6 to 8 inch arms coming out like a dadgum octopus. Anyhow, it seemed like it was very successful so far with the milky spore grub killer, so that was all good, and I wanted to comment on that. And I say, I understand that these fig trees will recover because I've got the.
They're very resilient.
Left. Yeah, pretty good vertical left there, and so it'll come back, but it's sort of. I noticed that the middle of it has opened up a little bit, and a couple of days later, I walked out, that whole everything is just sort of laid down, you know, and broke off right there at the stump. So I needed to have done some severe pruning earlier in there to you know, take the weight off of the stuff. Yeah. Anyhow, I wanted to share that success on the milky spore killing the Japanese beetle.
Well, Carl, I have some fig trees that Mike has seen before. They're over 100 years old. I have cut on them over the years, and when you get those horizontal things coming out, I go all the way back to the trunk and cut it totally off, because as you know, it can just take over and hit. You don't want them touching the ground because that attracts more varmints than anything. And I don't think you can prune a fig tree too much.
Okay.
And the milky spore is the big thing that I on mine. A bird will come peck a little bit in one, and then the yellow jackets will come, and the hornets, and
all the figs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But let me ask you about yours, Carl. I have a very small number of early figs that come on that are probably as big as a baseball, and not many. And I would say out of all my 4 or 5 trees, there wouldn't be over 15 that come early. Do you have anything like that on your tree?
Well, I have some early ones, but they're not the size of a baseball. They're more like a silver dollar size, or a little bit less than that. Then the rest of them are about a quarter size.
Right, and they're coming along.
Just a few of them. I noticed that my daughter-in-law was buying it when I told her what kind of mess I had there, and looked at one that, you know, the branch that I'd cut off already. That, look at this, and soft enough. So I've got a few out there that I can maybe salvage. But I've got the parts that are only half broken off and are going to have to whatever. I'm still going to have a crop. But it seems to, I don't know, don't remember exactly when the Milky or the Japanese beetles showed up last. Normally, it seemed like it's in the middle of the harvest as opposed to the early. So I'm looking forward to see if they in fact do show up. But there's anyhow. I'm sorry that I was not sharp enough to recognize when this starts to get white. You know, those, they ain't going to hold up. So anyhow, I've got a couple that I put a big 4x4 post under, so it's not going to go down anymore. So I just probably got it'll come back, but it just, what the heck? How did I allow that to happen? So, all right, that's my bigamous, commonest, bigamous story for today.
Okay, well, we'll stay away from the bigamous subject for at least a show or two. But, Carl, are you going to the social district in Apex opens up today? Are you going to go downtown and party?
Probably not. I'll be out trying to clean up my garbage can comes by on Monday. So on the weekends, I fill up my garbage can, and I'll be filling it up for several weeks there to get rid of all this stuff off of the big tree.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, Carl.
Yeah, huge. Well, I've got you know, all the stuff to cut it with. I've been cutting on trees for 50, 60 years, but I did not recognize what was potential there, and I let the damn things all break apart on me.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a huge fig tree, Carl, out at Phil Campbell's. It sounds about like yours is maybe as big as hers. And another one behind our friend George at the Wiener Place has a fig tree, Mike, that was brought over from
Greece.
From Greece.
Yeah.
And it has, I would say, a 10-inch circumference trunk. And it is a good size. It would be maybe 25 feet tall and maybe 5 feet wide.
Oh,
surely yours is not that big.
No, this is multi-stem, 26 to 8-inch branches coming out from the bottom. This is not a single tree. It's, let's say, there's at least 20, 6 to 8-inch thick, going out 15, 20 feet, because the bush itself is about 40 feet wide. It was just huge. And I cut off 3 or 4 feet all the way around each year, and it keeps growing back huge. But in the meantime, the branches kept getting bigger and bigger and thicker and heavier, and then they just broke off.
Yeah. You're going to have to be brave sometime and go all the way back to the ground with them. All the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all these that have busted off that part of the sort of a semi-stump there, it's a multi-stem. It's a multi-stem stump. So I just hope that the big hole that I left there, I'll just fill it full of dirt. And the cleanup, trying to make it as much as it looks like a tree as I can. But it's a bush type thing, I guess. I've never seen this is my first big tree. And we've been here 4 years, and it's been in the ground. Or because it's so huge, I choose it was planted about 24, 25 years ago because it gets nice fruit off them, but they don't get super big. They get between 50 cent and a dollar, but there's usually plenty of them, and they taste good. But you once you cut them off, you put them in the freezer, you put them on the counter, they'll get real soft real quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, I what I do when mine get ready, I just go around giving them to people because they come in about the same time, and I just have far too many. I'd like to eat a lot of them right off the tree.
Yeah. In the past, the Japanese beetle attack was so bad that was hard to get much of a crop. You could get one here and one there that they hadn't jumped on yet, but I'm waiting to see if anything like that shows up this year. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, my hibiscus seem to be the perfect plant for the Japanese beetles. They come and just devastate the leaves of the hibiscus.
Oh, I haven't got it over there yet, but they attacked my climbing rose bush, and I put a bunch of that milky spore down around it also. So, but it's been a good year for the garden generally. You know, the great, this is my favorite spring with the amount of rain we've had, you know, off and on rain every couple of weeks or every week or so. It's been great.
Yeah, and the landscape certainly shows it. It's been really an extraordinary time.
Yeah, so. As opposed to last year when I lost several plants like everybody else.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how the summer goes. We may have drought conditions, as we often do during the summer because of the evaporation rates and the continuous hot weather, hot, dry weather with those Bermuda highs that we often get. Thanks, Carl, very much for sharing that with us.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. All right. It doesn't take a long time for moles and voles to quickly turn your beautiful lawn garden into a mess. So don't wait for the damage to get worse. Stop them now with Imos Garden Mole and Vole Repellent. You've seen what moles can do, raised tunnels, ugly dirt mounds, and holes that can you can trip over in the landscape. But, you know, for a different perspective, they do aerate the ground. But especially when you have a beautiful lawn, you don't want that. They're looking for those grubs in there, by the way, too. But the voles, they were much more of a damaging animal to me. They are little field mice, and they will go after the roots and the bark and the bulbs, and they can damage some very expensive plants or kill them. That's why gardeners across the triangle trust Imos Garden Mole and Vole Repellent, a powerful all-natural formula that gets results without using harmful chemicals. It's made with a unique blend of botanical oils and natural ingredients. It works by coating the food sources that moles and voles rely on, encouraging them to move on without leaving behind toxic residue or harming your plants, pets, or the environment. You'll find Imos Garden repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores throughout the Triangle area, including For Garden's Sake in Durham, Piedmont Feed and Garden in Chapel Hill, and many other trusted local retailers like Campbell Road Nursery. So this spring, protect your yard and garden the safe, effective way. Choose local. Choose trusted. Choose Imos Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up on WPTF.